Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike here with a Wednesday night midweek Pure Bible study. Since we live in the balmy state of Missouri, where the temperature yesterday morning was, about -5. And today we're in the teens. Now, that's Fahrenheit. Okay. And by next week, the temperature is supposed to range in the mid-50s. See, this is Missouri. It's the battle of the North and the South. When we had all that snow Sunday night into Monday, the cold temperature came from Canada, eh? But then the Cajuns down in Louisiana sent us up a bunch of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, and they met in the middle. Actually, they sort of met down in Louisiana because it snowed down in Louisiana, all through Arkansas, all through Missouri. That storm ended up all the way up in New York. They got a bunch of it too. Has a lot of moisture. So anyway, we're not having services this evening, but we still need to feed on the Word of God. The last time we were together on Wednesday night, we were studying out of the Gospel of John chapter 2. And this part here that I'm going to speak on is a subject that has sort of become, and I haven't made a big deal about it, but it has become sort of the trademark of our ministry. And this goes back even several years before I ever started doing the Watchman video broadcast. Just to kind of go over some things. Back in 96, I became pastor at Bethel. I had been there. I grew up there most of my life. And 1997, God called me to study prophecy. And so right around 1999, year 2000, God began to expand our ministry. We started making some videotapes, and Southwest Radio got a hold of the first book I had published, which is By Divine Order. Actually, it was the King James Code, but Hutch didn't like that title, Noah Hutchings. So we changed it to By Divine Order. The second book became the King James Code. And so that put us out on the radio across America, about 150 stations they were at that time. And so then we got into a publishing agreement with their publisher, Hearthstone Publishing. And we didn't really make really any money, any sizable money from the book sales. But Hearthstone let me, they went out of business not too long after that. And they let me have all of the books that they had left over. We had to purchase them. And then I had boxes of books that they just gave us from the years gone by in Southwest Radio Church's ministry that had gone through Hearthstone Publishing. So we had books and videos. And whenever when Lisa and I would go somewhere and I would preach at a church, we'd set the table up. And, you know, we labeled the videos and the books and everything like that with a price. But I was always keen to make sure that the people knew that if they couldn't afford anything, just let me know, and they could have anything they wanted from the table. And God had actually dealt with me even before this about the money issue, because I remember I went to preach at a church on a Sunday night that had invited me down to talk about the King James Bible and the Numbers, and it wasn't too far from where we lived, so I just drove down there and preached and came back. Well, they gave me an honorarium, a little, I don't remember how much it was, wasn't much. But God began to deal with me because I sold some books down there. And I was down there, even though I was being paid a salary by the church, I was away from my church on a Sunday night preaching at another church, and they were paying me money as well. Now, it may not sound like a big deal. And the Bible says the servant is worthy of his hire, and you don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Well, we pastors are the oxen. We tread out the corn for the people. Our labor is in the Word of God. And just like the Levite priest received a portion of the offerings that were brought in, the meat and the flour and everything, and the tithe money, that was to go for the portion of the Levites. That's the way it is when you are a bishop of a church. Then you are expected to receive from the labor that you put into that church. And there are some people who say no pastor should ever be paid, and that's unbiblical. It's not correct. But anyway, I felt guilty. So I went to my father-in-law, who was the only deacon we had at the time, and I said to him, I want to work out something with the church. If this ministry goes anywhere, and really it hadn't, by that time it was just getting started. I said, if this ministry goes anywhere, then I want to be fair with the church. I feel like I owe that church my life, my labor, because we went through hard times together. God brought us all out of that, and we could see God moving. And so I said, I would like to form a committee, a group of people in the church that will decide if I go preach somewhere, when money comes in, like from book sales or honorarium or whatever, I don't feel right. I said, I feel like I'm doing the church dirty because I'm receiving a paycheck from the church, but then I'm getting paid by other churches to go preach at them. And this is really before I started really going anywhere. And so we picked about four people out of the church and they decided how things were to be done. And it was fair and agreeable. And the church would receive any book sale money that came in, sales from videos and things like that, to cover the travel expenses, whatever. And if an honorarium was given to me as the speaker for that week, then I could receive that. And we've made some other arrangements since then. But the idea was that I didn't get into this for money. God had driven me away from that, I guess, for most of my life. I'm not somebody that wants a bunch of money. And so God blessed that. But at the time, we were still selling things at the table that we set up at the church. And, you know, people paid. And very, you know, every now and then somebody would say, can I have this book? I didn't bring any money. Sure, absolutely, because I made that promise. And then I went to preach a revival at a church, and God dealt with me. And all the way down there, Mike, don't sell anything. I went, what? But, you know, I kind of had an agreement with the church that if I sold anything, the church received that to pay for the travel expenses, whatever. Mike, don't sell anything. Trust me. Okay. So I got to the church, set up a table, put a basket on the table with a sign, said donations, but everything on the table is free. And I was there all week. And I got done preaching on a Friday night and was going to try to drive back. It was about 7 hours. I was going to try to get back home that evening or early in the morning. And curiosity got me. As I'm driving at night, don't do this, I counted the money just loosely. And I was stunned. We had taken in more in just free will donations than we had ever sold at any church. And God said, see, Mike, you can trust me, can't you? Yeah, I can. I was bawling. And I went home and told my wife. And I went and told the church. I said, this is how it's going to be from now on. We're not going to sell anything ever again. And so when I started doing the Watchman video broadcast, 2009, that was in my heart. I'm not going to make a pay-per-view site. I'm not going to copyright the videos. Then in May of 2009, we started sending out DVDs to people who requested them on a monthly basis, what we call the Watchers Packet. And we was excited, Sister Bonnie and I, because we had like 20 people sign up the first month. Woo-hoo! And I sort of received that while I was praying. And then I asked God, okay, God, now we're spending some money to send these out because we have duplicate, postage, so on. And God said, don't do it. Don't charge. free of charge, Mike. Freely I have given you. Mike, did I charge you anything? No. In fact, God, I feel like I owe you. And God said, don't charge. And we never have. And so that ministry grew, then the internet ministry grew, and everything has grown now to what it is. And I don't boast on these things because, again, it was contrary to my flesh. My flesh said, well, I got to take care of the church. And God said, it's my church. I'll take care of it. So that has sort of been, again, I don't make a big deal about this. I don't talk about money very often. And you could probably count the number of times. We've come close a few times. I'll say that. We've had times where money was tight, but God's never failed us, ever. And it's sort of been the unspoken trademark of our ministry that everything that we do and give is free of charge. And I've actually corrected people on the phone who said, well, I've paid my dues this month. And I'd say, well, actually, let me correct you on that. We don't charge any dues. We don't charge any fees. You don't pay a subscription here. Anything that you send is a free will offering. We've not asked for a dime ever. And that includes the watchers packets and everything else. So Jesus is my role model in this. He's the one that showed me, Mike, you're not doing right. In John chapter 2, verse 13, is that story of Christ's zeal for his house. John chapter 2, verse 13, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And here's what little we know about this, is that, of course, God required the Israelites, the Jews, to come in to Jerusalem at certain times of the year. And, you know, the law said they had to bring an offering for their sins, for the redemption, and so on. Well, now you've got Jews scattered hundreds of miles, which was a big deal back then. So it was very difficult for them to come traveling with doves or oxen or sheep or things like that. So some of the Jews figured out, Jews are good at this, at merchandise. They figured out that, well, we'll tell you what, we'll set up stalls and we'll sell oxen to people. We'll sell them doves. We'll sell them lambs and goats. We'll sell them the things that we, or if they owe a redemption price. Well, if they bring in Roman currency, well, we can't take that. So we'll exchange it for shekels. And they were making a killing off of the money, changers of money. Because the law required these people to bring an offering. And there were certain Jews who were getting filthy. The law said that lamb had to be spotless. Now, I had to go through 1,000 sheep to get this lamb. I mean, we can't have any old lamb coming in here. This one's going to cost you 1,000 shekels. And you had to pay it. Because you came bringing money, but you didn't come with a lamb. So that's what the setup is here. And they're sitting right at the temple gate selling this stuff because it was required in the law that they bring an offering. And Jesus knew it. He knew that those Jews were taking advantage of their own people, their own poor people, taking advantage of them, selling salvation. Essentially, what they're doing is selling salvation. Sound familiar? Most large ministries will not give away diddly. You ask them, you call their office. whatever book or DVD they've got out, they won't give it to you. They're going to sell it. After having their speaker tell you for an hour that you have to have this teaching. This teaching, you'll never understand anything from God's Word if you don't get this teaching. In other words, you've got to come to me for it, and I'm going to charge you for it every time. And don't you dare post this on YouTube. See, I got the idea of not copywriting videotapes back from a day back in the 90s when video cassettes were being, people would bring me video cassettes. Pastor, you got to watch this video. You're like in prophecy, right? Man, you got to watch this one. And it was a copied tape from some other ministry. They made a copy of it. So it wasn't as good, you know, but hey, I still watched it. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty neat trick because people can copy videotapes. And if I make a videotape and, you know, give it to somebody, they like it. What are they going to do? They're going to copy it and they're going to give it to a bunch of people they know. And I'm telling you, it worked. It worked. It was a brilliant plan. So while everybody else was out selling their videotapes, people were giving mine away. Because I'd tell them, yeah, copy it all you want to. I used to put on the videos, you are free to copy this video as the Lord directs. And I'd say it's copyrighted, which means copy it right. Do a good job, okay? Don't cheat me out now. Make me look good on the copy. And but they're selling salvation. The Catholic Church still is selling salvation. They will still go to widows, families. A guy dies. Brother Reg Kelly told me this story. Catholic Church went after a family. This man died and went to his three sons, hitting them up for $20,000, $30,000 out of their inheritance. And a piece. And the third son, I won't say what all he said, but he said, just let the old man burn then. I ain't paying you a dime. He didn't believe that stuff. He didn't believe that money got somebody out of purgatory. He didn't believe it. But they're selling grace and they're selling salvation. They're selling things that according to God are supposed to be free. And the disciples remembered the verses. All of these, every time Jesus does something, verses come popping into their mind. Verses of scripture. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot, what's that word? Profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and let me stop right here. What does he mean by that? Gods whom you know not. How many books did Baal write? How many commandments did Baal send down from heaven? How much of Baal did they have written down from the prophets themselves? They didn't know who Baal was. They learned him after the Moabites and the Babylonians. They didn't have the Old Testament. They didn't have the prophets speaking on behalf of God, writing these things down. They didn't have, Baal never had a Moses. That's what I think is part of walking after gods whom you knew not. And he said, you've got my word here. You know me. And you won't follow me. And come and stand before me, verse 10, in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? That's where Jesus got it. This is my house, he said. You've turned it into a den of robbers and thieves. How dare you? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Verse 12, but go ye now into my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear. Same God here. Same God. And he's a little upset today. I wouldn't bother him if I were you. That's an understatement. Now, this is interesting because Shiloh represents Christ. The prophecy given through Jacob to his sons was that he says to Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And to him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh is Christ. But it was also, watch this now, the first place, the first capital of the Israelites when they came into the promised land. It was first place that the Ark of the Covenant was set up and the tabernacle was set up in the promised land. It was at Shiloh. Guess what? You're going to find Shiloh mentioned in the Bible 33 times. It's Christ at his first coming. And then what did God do? Because Israel turned their back against God and turned unto Baal, God destroyed Shiloh, the house of the Lord. And who did Jesus say was the house of the Lord? He was. Do you get that now? Shiloh's mentioned 33 times. Jesus was 33. He's destroyed. Shiloh's destroyed. And God said, see this house? I'll destroy this house like I did Shiloh. See, and at some point, this is what God has to do to all of us. He has to destroy our old house, our old way of doing things, our old preconceived notions about who God is, what God does, how He is, how it works. See, I was just doing what I had seen others do. Sell books, sell videos, sell. That's just doing what I saw other people do. Then I started reading scripture and I went, God didn't charge me anything. It was free. Maybe I'll just give away my stuff for free. And I kid around. That's the only way people will take it. So I give it away for free. Can't sell it. Nobody will look at it. I'm glad that you have. I'm glad that you've watched our videos. I'm blessed beyond imagination. Just because there's some people out there now that love this book. Okay? But that's where he got it from. You've turned the house of God into a den of robbers. So, and I've mentioned this, how many websites operate on selling the information either through subscriptions, which they'll tease you with part of the content, but then reserve the rest of the content for the people who pay up. How many so-called Christian websites do that? How many right-wing conspiracy websites that you go to every day either have subscription content, or they just, as soon as you go to the page, you've got to wait 15 minutes for the advertisements to kick on. And they're out to make money off of your curiosity. See, they tease you with Facebook, which, how does Facebook operate? They take money, they get ad revenue, a lot of it. And they sell the data of what they know about you, a lot of it. Google, the same thing. YouTube, Apple, they all want your data. They want your advertising dollars. Okay? It's all merchandising, people. It's all for profit. And why? So what would make a guy lie on a YouTube video? The more sensational it is, the more people is going to watch it out of curiosity. It's in our nature. And he gets paid now because he is monetizing his videos. He gets paid from YouTube. And now you got all these guys complaining because YouTube kicked them off, because they were lying so much. YouTube kicked them off, and now they're not making money off of you. They can't. That's why they're complaining so much. That's censorship. They were just trying to make money off of getting information to you. That's what they were trying to do. 1 Timothy 6:5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. How many preachers do you know that are like that? And I'm not talking about just the charismatic TBN crowd. I'm talking about the preachers. I've been around preachers all my life. first thing when two preachers shake hands they ask each other is, how's your church doing? You know why they ask that? So the poor fella can hear how good your church is doing. Well, his church is, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, I'll tell you what God's done in our church. Man, I'll tell you what, we just filling the seats every Sunday. Boy, we're just doing this, we're doing that. And I know what that is. It's not giving credit to the Lord. They're bragging. Because I used to do it. Just brag and brag and brag about how many people they got coming in now. Just boast on it. You know, I'll pray for you, brother. I'm so sorry that you've only got 40 in your church. Yeah, they're like that. Don't think they're not. They're just as human as everybody else is. And it's a contest among many of them. And they're full of pride on how big their church is. They think gain is godliness. Well, God's, look at, I mean, obviously God's blessing. Look at all these pews that are full. Joel Osteen can pack, what, 60, 70,000 in there and does it every Sunday? Or twice on Sunday, three times, I don't know. Is he godly? Catholic Church can draw millions to the Vatican just to watch Il Papa come out on the window and wave to him. Just because you drew a crowd and the money's coming in, that's not godliness. That's not the sign of godliness. It has nothing to do with it. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So I did. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember back in Jeremiah when he said, you trust in lying words that cannot profit? I'd rather have this and the riches that are here than all the money in the world. And it's not just talk. This is what I'd rather have. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And that's a verse that I've kept in my mind and my heart now for years. I'd rather have a reputation than great riches. That's what I'd rather have. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, don't they? Which drown men in destruction and perdition. And he's not just talking about rich oil people or rich Jewish bankers or rich Amazon.com people. He's talking about rich church people too. Rich church people are corrupt. They are corrupt. They control that church with their money. And then that pastor's corrupt for taking their money. It corrupts pastors. For the love of money is the, our King James is the only Bible that says this the right way. It is not a root of evil like, oh, well, there's other roots of evil. No, this is it. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, but not money. See, that was my problem. In 96, I was chasing the money. I thought if I can get a lot of people into the church, then I'll get a salary raise. I was going to change whatever needed to be changed in order to make that happen. My problem is I'm no good at that. I really am not. I stink at it. I'm lousy about it. I am not an administrator, a planner, an organizer. I'm not. Boy, that was above my pay grade. But it calls you to err from the faith. What did Jesus say about the thorns in the flesh? In the parable of the seed and the sower. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things creeping in. They're all thorns that destroy faith and trust in this word. And there's a reason why God has us sometimes going from paycheck to paycheck. It's so that our confidence is in Him, Him providing for us and not us, so that we can look back after 40, 50 years of adult life and say, if God hadn't brought us through it, I don't know how we ever got through it. Fact is, we shouldn't have done it. We should have just turned belly up, but God got us through it. See, that's the kind of stuff that you want to be rich with when you're an old man. It's full of faith, giving God the praise for it, rather than, I did it my way. James 5. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered. And see, that's, you stop and think about it. Gold is gold. It's expensive because, number one, it's rare, and number two, it doesn't corrupt. It doesn't lose its shine. But he said, your silver and gold is cankered. It's full of pot metal and junk. It's no good. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Sound familiar? Buy this water filter, buy this ammunition, buy all this dehydrated food and collect silver and gold. You're going to need it for the last days. You've heaped up treasure for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. In other words, you got rich while you let everybody else suffer, including the people that work for you. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. James preaches about it. Paul preaches against it. Peter did. When he talked about the false prophets, Jesus did. The prophets did. They all did. They all preached it. Now, is it wrong to have money? No. Let God blessed Abram. God blessed Job. God blessed people throughout the scriptures. Bless those who had a willing heart to give and were able to give so that they would give. God blessed them with riches so that they would give. But then you got people who just crawled over the wilted bodies of everybody else to get gain off of everybody. Just to hoard it up. Ezekiel 28, verse 2. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. This is Satan. When it says the love of money is the root of all evil, let's get to the heart of the evil. It's Satan. And I know it's sort of weird to think of a spirit that wants physical gold and silver and merchandise, but he, think of a crow that steals necklaces and diamond rings and puts it in its nest. It's in their nature to do that. They like shiny things, okay? So Satan is that way. I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. And thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. But God said in verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Look how he's decorated. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, 10 of them. Then the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He was literally coated with gems and jewels and shiny things. And he loved it. Look at how I'm adorned. But he wanted that throne because he figured that's the pinnacle of getting everything. Hitler wanted everything. Look into the story about the art that Hitler stole. And during World War II, the Allies found what was called the Nero Decree. Hitler basically said, in the case of my death, burn everything, meaning the documents and all the artwork that he stole. Burn it up, because if I can't have it, then nobody can have it. So in verse 14, he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries, and by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Traffic is trading in merchandise. You give me that, and I'll give you this. That's Babylon's love, by the way. She traffics in human souls and children. You know, precious things. Is that how God's people are supposed to be? Is that how the man of God is supposed to be? I'll give you this if you pay me $49.95 plus $20 shipping and handling. See, the $20, the shipping handling cost went way up. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. God promises he's going to bring everybody who swears by gold and silver and by merchandise and by trafficking and by selling lies to people, selling information to people. Yes, come to our website. Oh, you need to be put on the subscription list if you want to get the really good stuff. I got the really good stuff here, but that's only for those who pay. So we don't have a Patreon account. We don't monetize our videos. And again, it's not me bragging, because it was contrary to my flesh. It was God that did it. And I had to learn to trust him. And I'm glad I did. Revelation 18:2, it's a sign of Babylon. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. You think about that. And double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled to her, double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. What is it that corrupted the Clintons? Early on, I'm sure they were hippie idealists when they were in college together. But then they got greedy and they got powerful. And the more powerful they got, the more powerful they wanted to be. And the more greedy, the more things they got, the more they wanted. And you can't find two more corrupt people in this world that are married together. Not right now. I think they're the pinnacle. And I think everybody that knows them knows how corrupt they are and would agree to that. I don't believe you can find two more greedy, corrupt people in this world than Bill and Hillary Clinton. But did they start out that way? In their fantasy ideologies they were learning in Marxism school? Let's be communists and let's, that way we share everything equal. You think Hillary thinks she's equal with anybody? How many church members do we know that are like that? How many pastors do we know that are like that? And it makes people sick. We have people starving all over the world. We have people dying of curable diseases. Yes, it did occur to me that pharmaceutical companies very seldom ever come up with cures for diseases. It is far more financially beneficial for them to come up with treatments for diseases rather than cures. Why? Because treatments are long-term. Cures, well, once you cure the disease, what are they going to pay? What else are they, you know, they're not sick anymore. They don't need a doctor. That's what runs the whole ballgame, people. This world, and Jesus is going to come and upset some people when he comes. So Revelation 18:11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of precious, most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep. Boy, if I had all that, I'd be wealthy, right? And horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. See, every time salvation is sold, you enslave that person because they have to keep buying the salvation. They don't, it's not a one-time purchase. They have to keep buying it. You just watch. Just turn TBN on for a day and watch it. And watch how these characters play their part. They start out with the vital teaching. God, the inspiration that God gave me. God showed me this. And he didn't show you this. He showed it to me. And by the end of the program, they've got you so hooked into it. But they never really get to the good stuff. That's the stuff. If you want the rest of this teaching, why? Send your love offering. It's not a love offering. Because if it is, call them and say, I love you. Now, can I have the book? They won't give it to you. But you watch them all day long. You watch TBN all day long and see how these jokers operate. By the time they're done with that video, that 30-minute spot, they've got you hooked. You've got to have that DVD. Man, you've got to have that. You've got to have that book they just wrote. Because that's got the good stuff in it. Boy, if you had this book, you'd really be into it. Jim Baker, I thought he really changed when he went to prison. He wrote a book while he was in prison called I Am Sorry. Then he wrote another one. I didn't read the first one he had. The second one he wrote was on Bible prophecy, and that was about the time that God got me interested, and I was reading his book, that he wrote it in prison. And he's telling about how he used to do it. He said, we didn't wait for God to give us messages. He said, we figured out a way to get money out of people, and we'd design a little study, a sermonette, that would get people to pay us money. And he said, it worked well. And he said, I'm telling on all my friends. And it looked like for a while he was totally against money. What's he doing now? He's got a big theater in Branson, got a big daily TV show, and what does he do? He sells everybody's books and tapes. He's a pitch man, a salesman for other people's books, and it's vital. You've got to get this book. This book will change your life. This book will save you. This book will, I mean, and it's from God. I promise it is. And you're blessing our ministry. You're going to help us reach all over the world. These people make me sick. He ain't changed a lick. Isaiah 55. I love this verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. But look what he says. And see, even when we started the radio ministry, what I wanted was a radio station in Nairobi. Because there's millions of people in Nairobi. See, I wasn't thinking right, was I? And I wanted a station in Nairobi, and there was none. So we ended up in two of the most out-of-the-way places in Kenya to get to. Hard places. And because they're hard places to get to, not much help ever makes it up there. So God put us in a place, not a place where we would get, but a place where we would give. And again, I don't take any credit for that. Because my flesh said one thing, God said another. See, I still got the flesh in me. And God changed all that. And he put us in a place now to bless instead of a place to be blessed. And I'm thankful he did. I'm glad that he did. And I'm glad for your sake that he did. And just continue to pray that God will continue to use us and to use what he's given us wisely to continue to be a blessing. Again, I am dead serious about a permanent place, and we're looking into it right now, to set up a place to distribute food and water on a permanent basis, or as permanent as God will allow, to try to stop some people from starving to death, literally starving to death. They'll know us by our love for one another, not by how we cheat one another, not how by we get gain while they suffer. And if we have the ability to do something about it, then we are obligated to do something about it. I like this verse. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine, milk without money and without price. The gospel that is given to us. Let me read these verses. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. What did it cost Adam to rent Eden? Nothing. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What did he charge us to be saved? Nothing. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely. Freely. That's the temple that God wants. The free temple. Not the one that charges everybody. Not the one where it costs. Not the one where the church will send you out a record of your donations and then tell you that since you're a member there, you're way behind in your tithing because we know how much money you make. And if you don't cough it up now, we'll have no choice but to take your name off our membership rolls. And to them, that's salvation. Yeah, they do that. There are churches that do that. Pastors who review what everybody gives and then preaches to them and favors others who give more than other people do. Yeah, they do that too. It's sickening. It is sickening what's done in the name of God when it comes to money. I hate it. God hates it. We all are to hate it. It is part of our corrupt nature. Fight it off. God gave to you freely. You don't want Jesus showing up to your house throwing stuff out in the yard, do you? No. I've already had that scourge. I don't want it again. Amen. Just think about the house of God. Think about the riches that are be gained from this book and riches that can be given from this book freely. Okay? God bless you. I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.